What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I mean, preseason is always this kind of weird spot to be in when you want to do reaction to what you see, right? Because we all know that it doesn't mean anything as far as a team's record, right? Everybody is 0-0. Yeah, you see 0-2 in the standings, but that's preseason. It gets reset. And we could talk all we want about, it doesn't matter, it's preseason. But what does matter is how you perform individually and as a team sometimes. What I mean by that, how it matters, not that it matters on the record, but it matters for the evaluation of players, and you want to make sure you still kind of treat it right, because the whole goal is to use that time to get to the regular season, have the right team, and perform your best via that particular ramp up and evaluation, right? So you try to put it all into context. So we'll try to do that right here with my buddy Matt Perino, who's going to join me on the Westher Hotline after the Bills lose 38-0 to the Chicago Bears. And of course, Matt at Syracuse.com, NewYorkUpstate.com, and co-host of the Shout podcast. He is still in Chicago, right? So thanks for taking some time before you board your plane to come back home, buddy.
Oh, no problem, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. All right. I mean, what was your biggest takeaway from last night, whether it be a team overall or anything individual for the Buffalo Bills?
You know, I think you make a great point to start there. It's just like you're going into this game, and Sean McDermott said it after the game, this is an opportunity for some of these guys that are battling for not very many open roster spots. Like, this is a roster that has probably 45 to 48 players pretty locked in. We're spending the month here talking about a roster bubble that consists of maybe about 5 or 7 players at all these different positions. And you look at this game, and to me, my biggest takeaway is it's an opportunity for Cole Bishop, who's been out again all summer long, the same issue that he ran into last year, to make a splash. And, you know, he didn't want to use it as an excuse last night when we talked to him at his locker, but it is something where he hasn't been able to do any conditioning over the last couple of weeks with the quad injury, the stuff that he wanted to do. He's doing walkthroughs. He's going to meetings. He's doing extra mental stuff with Taylor Rapp to try to get on the same page. And then you get thrown out there, and it didn't look right. It didn't look like he was comfortable. It looked like he was a little bit – he wasn't playing very fast. And these evaluations are important. Of course, like, you need to get the reps. You need to get him back on board. He only had 2 limited practices before this game. But time's running out. I mean, Lamar Jackson's coming to Buffalo with the Baltimore Ravens in less than 3 weeks now. And that was, you know, it wasn't the number one defense for the Bills. So I think that that's the one thing you can lean back on. The majority of players that were out there aren't going to be on the field in Buffalo in 3 weeks. And you can take that into account. But at the safety spot, a position that we spent so much of the offseason deliberating about and talking about, the Bills are basically running it back for the most part, with the one change being Jordan Hancock, this young, exciting rookie. We can talk about him too. He got hurt last night. It doesn't seem like it's super serious, but he's a guy that I thought took the opportunity last night and probably is going to get a positive evaluation when the Bills get the tape on.
All right, let's stay on that then. As far as safety, as far as Cole Bishop, I thought it was interesting. Sean McDermott, you were in the postgame press conference last night. His exact words were, we have to see who we have, who can help us, and what we may need. How do you interpret that?
Exactly what I think that you interpreted it. It's the Bills might have to make a change at that position. They might have to bring somebody in to add to the competition. The competition's not over. Sure, they're wrapping up training camp here over the next couple of days. I know, you know, they do Shane John Fisher for 2 weeks, but it's still been a training camp setting in Orchard Park. And I don't know if they're anywhere closer to answering the question of who they're going to trust. It's probably going to be Cole Bishop, right? Like, where he'll play the Tampa Bay game, I would imagine. They'll probably want him to get more reps. But in terms of having another plan, you know, I think DeMar Hamlin is a solid player in the NFL. I think he is a average level starter that if you need to call on him as a backup player, you could do a lot worse. I don't think that he's a starting option for the team, or at least he shouldn't. And now he has the experience in this defense. They trust him a ton, but in big time moments against elite offenses over the last couple of seasons, he has struggled. So you start to talk about Hancock, and Sean has kind of pressed the brakes down a little bit on him because he's such a young player. But it reminds me in some ways, it's not a perfect comp, but if you think back to the Benford Elam year, they both were drafted at the same time, and it was Benford who just kept making plays and kept being the player that everybody was talking about in that room that entire summer. It's similar in a lot of ways to this season. Now, Bishop hasn't been on the field, so he hasn't been making poor plays or his play hasn't stood out. But while he's been injured, Jordan Hancock, I feel like, has been garnering a ton of attention. And Cole Bishop is a second-year player, and I think he's been given every opportunity to be the starting safety alongside Taylor Rapp. But I don't think it's, you know, any coincidence that he was making plays last night, Hancock was, while Bishop really, really struggled in his reps.
No, I don't disagree. I think that they're going to have to give that a little bit of a look, and we'll see exactly what Jordan Hancock, you know, the injury, and if it holds him back in any regard. But, you know, they obviously have to take a look and see if there's a better option there. That said, they do have a few weeks here. I would still be surprised if the plan wasn't to hopefully get Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp on the field together and get enough reps where they feel more comfortable with Cole Bishop. It'd be tough to see them pulling the chute this early. You know what I mean, Matt?
100%. And I think that when we get to the season, of course, you want to see what this looks like. And there might be some growing pains, right? Like, this is still a really young player in a position that Sean has talked about. It's really hard for young players. I mean, Micah Hyde came over, Jordan Poyer came over. That was their fifth year in the league when they started for the Bills. So, I mean, they had a lot of experience already to be able to kind of hit the ground running. And we saw what they turned into. You know, the problem is, it's not necessarily the fact that you might have to go through growing pains with Bishop. For me, I think the scary thing for the Bills is to try to project what this is going to look like, knowing the inability of Bishop so far through a little over a year, to be able to stay healthy. So you might maybe get something going here, but if he gets hurt again early in the season, now you have to make alternate plans. That's the big problem when you're trying to make these projections, is based on availability, and Bishop just continually isn't available.
Last night, the defensive lineman, the young defensive lineman, got a little more run, Sean said, than they even planned for. I thought the two defensive tackles were better last week, but I thought Landon Jackson was a bit better this week. What did you think?
I'm totally in line there. I thought Deion Walker, when they got to the twos, he started to make some plays. He had a couple of pressures. I actually was surprised that Sanders was credited with three pressures by PFF and by Next Gen Stats. But it was Landon Jackson, to me, who I think you're starting to see get comfortable. I felt like watching him all summer, it's felt like he very stiff. He's been rushing like his pad level hasn't been very low. And I know that was one of the things that was maybe a concern coming out of school. I thought yesterday you saw him show a little bit more of his athleticism. He won in a couple of ways where he beats his block. He's in the backfield, and maybe the quarterback's just out of reach, steps up, and he's gone. But the pressure, the winning, the affecting the play, all of that was there last night. And I think that's really going to be important as you look at a summer where I'd love to hear your evaluation of it. I've been pretty unimpressed with Javon Solomon. I don't know if he's really made an impact. And if you're getting to that spot where maybe they both make the roster, right? Because Hoyt's going to be a suspended and yeah. Ogunjobi, you might have some opportunities there. But in terms of a game day jersey, which one of those two flashes enough over the course of in practice over the next week or two? And then obviously in the final preseason game, they're both going to get a really big opportunity against Tampa Bay next week. And I think right now I'd say advantage Landon Jackson. And I also like his size profile and what they can do creatively and how they deploy him in a very limited package if he gets a game day jersey.
You know, it's interesting though. Michael Hoyt has been good. He's a guy that I think they could really use here for the first six weeks. And unfortunately, Matt, they're not going to have him. But I think he's actually looked really good, and there's a lot of different ways they can deploy him. But he's a guy that's going to help this team.
100%. And the most interesting thing to me is going to be not Hoyt, because I think when they get him back, they're going to find ways to get him on the field, and he's going to be maybe like he's going to charge up that defense a little bit at that almost midway point of the season. The Ogunjobi thing is curious because of the numbers they're going to have on the interior. I mean, there's five right from the jump. You know, you think about Dwayne Carter behind Jones and Ed Oliver, then these two rookies and Deion Walker, who I think you have to write in pen in terms of a role in this rotation once you get to the season based on what we've seen from him this summer. And then obviously how excited they are about TJ Sanders, and he's been really good. So where does Ogunjobi fit? Like, are they going to keep six defensive tackles on their roster? They've actually done that in the past. I remember a couple years ago they had 11 defensive linemen. I can't remember, though. It might have been during the COVID era. Maybe they were dealing with some COVID stuff. I can't remember. I don't anticipate they'll do that. So they'll have to make a decision probably on one of these guys based on health when Ogunjobi gets back. That's going to be really interesting how they deal with that. One option could be maybe to trade Ogunjobi if you're really happy with the young players. But I had Mitch Morse on the podcast earlier this week, and he watched the Giants game, and he said, listen, I've played against Ogunjobi my entire career, and he's an absolute baller. He's a great addition behind Ed Oliver. So I think that you're going to want to lean on that veteran pass rushing ability on the interior. I don't think that they'd probably be willing to part with him. So it's going to be interesting who ends up being the odd man out there.
Matt Parrino joining me here on the West Her Hotline. All right, let's move over to the other side of the football. What did you make of the two backup quarterbacks? Did the needle move from wherever you were going into the game?
Yeah, I think I've landed on Mitch Trubisky probably being the backup, as maybe that was always going to be the case, and maybe we just needed a storyline. I think Mike White's been...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The better quarterback for the most part throughout the summer. But once the games have started here, it wasn't good last night. He played pretty well after a tough series against the Giants. But again, that was against mostly backups at that point. I think Mitch Trubisky, what he was able to do, I think he was playing against the second teamers when he got things going. I just think no matter what, these two guys have shown that the drop off from Josh Allen to both of them is so large that you're probably going to be in trouble if he misses any kind of amount of time. And I think what Trubisky can do is, you know, he's got a little bit of that mobility. He uses it a little differently. He's not going to turn the ball over a ton because he is so careful and, you know, he checks down a ton, which can be frustrating. But in a backup role, you almost just want to want somebody in that spot that's just going to be able to keep the ship on course a little bit. And I think with Mike White, with, you know, he threw an interception, Sal. We were at the joint practice on Friday. That was one of the worst interceptions I have seen by a Bills quarterback in a long time. I mean, basically just stared down the linebacker on an 8-yard sideline throw and threw it just right at him, knowing that, like, the linebacker was in between him and Caden Prather, his intended target, and he still decided to kind of let it rip. And I know it's the practice setting and you want to take chances, but I just think Trubisky's kind of edged himself ahead of Mike White. And I think Mike White's also falls into that bucket where he loves Buffalo. He loves being in the room with Josh Allen. There's a high likelihood that they could probably get him back on the practice squad.
Yeah, I don't disagree. He also wasn't helped, though, last night. The offensive line did not perform very well, and specifically, I thought it was a rough night for Ryan Vandermark. He started off with two false start penalties in the very first series, and then he was beaten. And he's a guy that this team is going to probably have to rely on at some point, considering they're a bit banged up in the O-line. Tylon Grable is still in concussion protocol right now. We know that Spencer Brown missed a little bit of time earlier with the back. Deion Dawkins missed a day with the back. So Ryan Vandermark's got to be a key piece here, and he might be battling with Chase Lunt.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Chase Lunt and Ryan Vandermark both struggled yesterday. And, I mean, it was across the board. I think that offensive line-wise, it wasn't a great day for really anybody. But Lunt is interesting because I think that they threw a ton on his plate last night to see what he can handle, starting him off at left guard. I don't know about you. I haven't seen him play guard all summer. So I think that was Aaron Cromer's way of saying, all right, let's throw this kid a curveball, see how he handles it. Obviously gave up the two sacks inside when he was there. He went out to right tackle. I think he played a little bit better out there. But it was a tough day for the rookie. And then Ryan Vandermark's a guy that I think that they trust. I think that he's somebody that he's played a lot of really good football for them. I do think offensive line is one of those positions across the line where it's about continuity. It's about the guys that you're playing next to. And, you know, I'm thinking about at right tackle, I think it was Richard Garage who started the game there. He's playing next to Dan Feeney, who was basically out of the league a couple weeks ago. And, like, he's starting the game for the Bills in front of Mike White. So, to your point, not a lot to work with up front for Mike White. I mean, they had some, you know, even Kendrick Green, who I think has had a pretty solid summer. He's kind of been dealing with that elbow injury that he sustained in practice earlier this week.
Yeah. I
wonder how much that affected him, too.
Elijah Moore had a couple of drops yesterday. Not the best day, but he was good in the practice, I thought. He had a nice catch and run for a touchdown. How do you evaluate what's happening at wide receiver? And also, obviously, with Tyrell Shavers having another pretty decent performance, nice catch, and Laviska Shenault still getting some run.
I mean, I think it's going to be a conversation around all these guys. The thing I keep coming back to with Elijah Moore is we haven't seen him a ton with Josh Allen. Right. And like, to your point, when we saw him with him, he makes a nice big play in the joint practice. And yesterday with the backups, it wasn't good. And the drop is not going to help him out, but the numbers just aren't really there. I mean, Tyrell Shavers is the one guy I think could potentially push him. And maybe the Bills are worried about cutting him this time around because of all the national attention he's now starting to get. I mean, Greg Olsen was talking about him in the beginning of that broadcast last night, where I was like, if you're any NFL evaluator and watching this game, I mean, I can't imagine Shavers isn't at least on your radar. So that's a decision they're going to have to figure out. Now, they got a bunch of injuries, so I think that could be interesting how they kind of navigate the IR process. I know you get those two that you can put on IR in addition to the suspended players. That's potentially four players that you're pushing over without having to risk losing them, and maybe that gets you an extra player. But I think Elijah Moore's got production in this league in a bad offense in Cleveland the last two seasons. His speed and his route-running ability and ability to win against men, playing the slot, playing the outside, that's all still there. That I think that they probably want to see what it looks like in the regular season. So I'm not at the place yet where I'm going to sit here and say that I think Elijah Moore is not going to make this team. I think he's going to be one of the five or six receivers.
All right, one more for you. The return game. We've seen Brandon Codrington as the main punt returner. I still believe he's entrenched there, but he hasn't shown a lot to help on defense. Maybe that opens the door for Shenault, who they do like as a kick returner, and he has played a little bit more on offense. How do you see the return game shaking out and how that might impact numbers in certain positions?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is nobody's come and taken it from Codrington.
Right.
Now, the one thing that, you know, the Bills can't make every evaluation based on if a player has versatility and can help them elsewhere, but Codrington is not going to help them on defense. Like, you saw last night what it meant, the drop-off from Cam Lewis to Codrington in the slot. I mean, it's really tough, so much so that they had to kind of throw Jordan Hancock there in the third quarter. Maybe that was the plan all along, to get him some run there. They've been playing him primarily at safety throughout the summer. But he's not going to do much on defense. But he is electric as a punt returner. He's different than Shenault and even like Hamler, who I think is a dynamic playmaker on offense. I don't think he's even as potentially explosive in the punt return game as Codrington is. And I think that they value that. And so I think he ends up, to your point, making the team and being the guy. And maybe Chenault's even a guy at this stage in his career that you can kind of keep and let him hang out in the practice squad. He hasn't done much on offense unless another team thinks, oh, hey, we have a spot we want to bring him in to return kickoffs.
Matt Perino, Shout Podcast, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse.com. What time's your flight leave to come back?
2 p.m., so I got about an hour here to finish up some work, and I'll be heading over to the airport, and we do it all again, get ready for Tampa Bay.
Yes, we do. Real quick, what do you want to see next week in Tampa? And any chance, I don't think the starters play at all, but you know, Matt Bove brought it up in our pod this morning that maybe Sean sends a message of some sort. I can't see it. I think the risk is too much there, but what do you see and how do you see them playing out next Saturday?
Yeah, I think the risk is too big. I think we're going to see a lot. Like, I think he's going to challenge this entire group that played in this Bears game to elevate their level and see which of these like roster bubble players really steps up and has a performance that could potentially win them a job. I think, you know, guys like Elijah Moore, it's going to be the Curtis Samuel game maybe too. Like, he's getting closer to being ready. I don't think they're going to want to go through this entire summer period and not have him play a single snap. So I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play a lot. It's probably going to be – I'll be interested to see if they go Mitch Trubisky. Like, if he wins the job, is this a game where you just go Mike White for a half and Bouchel for a half? How does that, you know, affect the evaluations of the wide receivers? I think there's going to be a lot of fire in that locker room and on the practice field this week. And I don't expect to see a ton of starters, but maybe again, like the Palmer and Bishop thing, we see a couple of spot starters just to maybe get them for a series or two to get them on the same page.
All right. What do you got going on to wrap up this game and into next week over at Shout and everywhere else?
Yeah, well, I don't think the Bills are doing media today. So when we do get a chance to talk to Sean again, we'll do a podcast probably tomorrow night if the Bills get back on the practice field. Had a chance to digest all of this and maybe see if the Bills do make their evaluations. And like we talked about earlier, if they make any changes, we'll obviously cover anything big that happens over the next 24 to 48 hours.
Thanks a lot, buddy. I really appreciate you taking the time today, man.
Anytime, brother.
All right, you got it. Yep, Matt Perino right there on the West Hur Hotline and doing a good job covering the team out in Chicago, of course. He's still there. He's flying back. He's writing stuff. You can find him over at Syracuse.com. You can find him over at NewYorkUpstate.com. And, of course, him and Ryan Talbot doing the Shout podcast. And, of course, you can follow Matt at Matt Perino. See, it's super simple. 2 hours at Matt Perino. Well, we got Josh Schmidt, who is the producer of this show. And we got Mark Schmidt, who is the – no relation, right? No relation. Are you sure? Did you ever ask Mark Schmidt? Are we related? You can call and ask him.
Different spelling.
When you get him on the phone now.
My name is spelled differently than every other Schmidt in existence. Yeah, I only have one T and no D. Most people either do a D and a T or two T's.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I have you in my phone incorrectly then.
That's okay. Everyone. Literally everyone has spelled my name wrong my entire life.
Pretty much here too. Most people put two P's and one C, but I'm one P and two C's.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I've typed your name out so much. I just do it by memory now.
Well, Mark Schmidt, who is the head coach at St. Bonaventure Basketball, he's going to join me after this timeout. And the reason is we are 1 week away from the annual Coaches versus Cancer dinner, golf event. Great cause, great time. I'm going to be down there in Olean next week. We'll talk with him about that and some college sports when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.